Howdy, folks. This is Andy of Odd Trilogies, and we're coming at you with a little new, different piece of content with our new website up. Looking to kind of diversify the types of content we have here at Odd Trilogies. So today we've just got a review, and I'm here with my co-host Logan, of course, and our beloved guest Adam LeClaire.
Hey guys, how's it going?
To talk about our thoughts on the recently released Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, so in case you didn't know, Adam was our guest on the Andy Serkis Planet of the Apes trilogy episode, right. And so, you know, it was not required viewing, but of course, we doing that trilogy, it was hard not to want to go see it as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's kind of the reason we did that trilogy when we did it.
Yeah, so Adam and I saw it opening weekend in IMAX, and then you saw it a few days after. Did you see it in IMAX as well?
I saw it in Dolby.
Oh, yeah. You do love Dolby.
I love me that Dolby.
Dolby's nice.
Me Dolby.
But yeah, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is stars Owen Teague, Freya Allen, Peter Macon, Kevin Durant, and is directed by Wes Ball, who is mainly known for
Maze Runner.
The Maze Runner trilogy.
Yeah.
And also the Mouse Guard film that he is still trying his damnedest to get made this year.
But he is attached to the Zelda.
He's doing the Legend of Zelda film for Illumination, I imagine.
And, or not live action, but the Zelda film. Yeah.
Yeah. Or is it Illumination and Sony? It's a weird mix of something.
So.
It's
one of
those
some
things.
Sort of weird. But yeah.
But yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm excited for his Zelda after seeing Kingdom, because in all honesty, I think Kingdom was great. I had a great time with it.
Yeah, Kingdom is meant, as I understand it, to be the first in another trilogy.
Yep. Yes.
I think they're kind of envisioning at least two more trilogies.
At least two more films.
Oh, okay. I'd heard that they were envisioning a 9-film kind of 3-trilogy arc with Caesar, this, and then something after it.
Okay, yeah, no, I misunderstood. That is what I've heard.
Most likely at least two more films.
Including the Caesar films, it's
The first film, the first series is based off of Caesar, played by Andy Serkis. The second trilogy is probably mainly going to be about Noah, played by Owen Teague, who most people, it's probably their first time being introduced to him, but he's in, you know, It, Chapter 1 and 2. He was in the Stand series that came out. He's done other stuff too. He's honestly great as Noah in this film. I actually really like him a lot. And maybe the next trilogy will be about a gibbon named Jesus. Who's to say?
Gibbons are name dropped in Kingdom of the Planet.
They are name dropped.
So there's that.
Yeah, I think
lesser ape. They are not a great ape.
I will say the big thing that surprised at least Adam and I, and I think you probably are in the same boat, is that going into this, a lot of the interviews with Wes Ball were talking about the fact that this is a distant sequel to the Serkis trilogy. It's many generations. People have theorized that means at least 300 years after the Serkis.
They haven't theorized.
Did they actually outright say?
The creators of the movie.
Okay, good.
I forget if it was Wes or who, but it's like 200 or 300 years after Caesar.
Okay, that's fair.
Which is an insanely long amount of time when you think about it.
And so Wes talked about in his Reddit AMA being like, this is a distant sequel, but it's still a sequel. It almost kind of feels like a distant prequel if it was to like the original 1968 film. But I did not expect this film to basically open on a coda to war. It's basically the fascinating thing.
An epilogue.
And epilogue that really just like cements the fact that the Serkis era is somewhat dead in a way, and that there's a new era coming in.
But in such a respectful, reverent way.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, again, before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, I love this movie.
You're the biggest Apes fan of the three of us.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Both the movies and the animals.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to know about bonobos? I can break it down to you. I really like this movie. I may even like it more than I like War of the Planet of the Apes, but I need to watch both of them more before I really have an idea of that. But I know that I like this movie a lot, at least. And that being said, one of the things I think that it does so well is that it reveres the Serkis trilogy while also revering that original film.
Yeah.
So much. And by original film, I mean the 1968 The Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
It reveres the new and the old in such a artistically striking and balanced way that makes for an aesthetically really cool movie.
Yeah. I think if anything, my expectations going in, the lowest expectations were it has to be better than Beneath. If it's not, we live in a hellscape, boring dystopia that we don't belong in.
I wouldn't be on this podcast
talking.
If it was
you would have been locked up in your room since we saw Kingdom if it was that.
I'd be like,
bad.
I'll talk to you about the circus films, but I'm going to bed after that. I'm done.
No, but like I think unlike Rise, which we talk about in our episode, I mean, has some boldness towards the end, but it's clearly just trying to do a lot of set dressing for better films down the line. Kingdom has a confidence out the gate where it's like, I don't really know what 2 and 3 look like, but I'm down. Compared to like how Rise felt like it had to really build up a little bit to get to that good stuff. Well,
to earn
Kingdom,
it, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, well, as with Kingdom, it, like you said, it just gives a very beautiful, a very, you know, elegant kind of end to Caesar as we know it in the circus way, and then goes right into this is our new era. And it doesn't feel like in a, you know, a classic rebooty way. It genuinely just feels like, no, like the world moves on. Caesar is an important figure in ape culture, but he still is a mortal ape.
He's gone. Yeah.
We have to go on to our next biblical character, which is Noah, the eagle ape, who is, I mean, again, like, I think one of the fascinating things is that this might be what starts kind of the, not argument, but more the conversation about the differences we kind of felt about the film. But like, I was pretty impressed by kind of, there's a uniqueness to how they handle the effects in this compared to the circus film in terms of just like the approach. There's enough of a difference where it didn't feel like they were forcing Weta to do the same thing again. Like Wes Ball even talked about, like, they shot the film differently. They used different lenses because apparently Weta was very big on like, you need like closer to fisheye lenses to really help with the effects in certain ways and kind of build it this way. And then Wes Ball basically was like, we're going to use, I believe, anamorphic. Mm. We're going to shoot it differently. And, you know, Weta, I know you can handle this. And ultimately, it has a feel to it where it does. Like, I don't think this film looks better than Dawn in any way, but I was impressed by the physicality.
In a lot of ways, it kind of does.
Really? Okay. I'm not saying it's wrong in any way. I think it looks great.
I think of the effects. I think Dawn is shot better.
Yes.
I think Matt Reeves shoots Dawn so much better, but, I mean, there were so many moments where I was just going over to my girlfriend who I was watching this with, as along with you, and just being like, they look real. Like, yeah. it was really hitting me the way that I had seen Dawn the first time in theater. Because one of the characters, Noah's dad, you see the main ape's father in this. He looks the least like a real chimpanzee out of all of the chimpanzee characters.
He
looks like an ancient, like Homo habilis or something, like an archaic human. He doesn't look like a chimpanzee. That being said, he looks real.
Yeah,
he is fuzzier than everybody else. He's got a ton of hair. The way he moves and the way that his hair moves, I was like, Jesus Christ, that is an actual thing that I'm looking at.
If anything, like, if
there's a lot of characters like that. I mean, Noah's mom is also one of the better looking ones. I really appreciate that in this new movie, the chimp characters look more like chimps. Save Noah, because Noah is very intentionally supposed to look a bit like Caesar, I think.
Yeah, so a lot many more of Owen's face in the design.
Yeah, and so many of the other chimps, they just let them look like actual chimpanzees.
Yeah.
And because of that, I don't know, I connected with it. I'm just like, oh shit, this looks more like a Planet of the Apes.
I think it definitely was the physicality for me, because all the actors, again, like, it's, if anything, if this doesn't, I mean, I would hope it leads to another, like, an end of a trilogy.
But oh, well.
If it doesn't lead to 9 movies like they want, at least they succeed in making it feel like, you know, physicality and visually, it can't look exactly like the circus films, but you have to make it believe that the gap between the circus films and the proposed, like, basically apes in human clothes, this feels like a natural in-between of where they're going. And I think a lot of the physicality... We are, but you still have to make it feel like there's
a progression.
Things have changed.
Yeah. You're moving toward that.
Yeah, like, and a lot of that is shown in, like, Raqqa. I think Raqqa is, like, incredibly well-designed, and Peter Macon's physicality is, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, his long arm, the way he walks, and... Mm-hmm.
Raqqa's the best character in the movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Raqqa's the highlight for me.
He is great. He is well done. And I want, he's part of Best Ape Chat. Involves Rocket, Luca, all the best boys from the Circus Trilogy. But Andy, how do you feel about the visuals? I feel like we haven't heard your take on it yet.
About the visuals specifically?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about what we thought about it. So I want to get your take on it.
I mean, I think it's a really good looking movie. I enjoyed watching it in Dolby in the format that I did. It's an incredibly clear, like, crisp movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think, I mean, not that Dawn and War aren't crisply rendered, but they're very textured, like, very, you know, kind of naturalistic.
Yeah.
And this
Dawn's
feels
so wet.
Yeah. Dawn is like you're standing in the rain. Kingdom is a lot more, I would almost describe it as fantastical.
Yeah, I can see
in
that.
The way the camera moves and the way the set pieces are shown off and that sort of thing. And I liked that it was different. I was kind of worried that it was just going to be, you know, the Matt Reeves aesthetic but like zero calorie or something,
mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah.
It was just
gonna
be diet
trying to do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it really does feel more like it's kind of, you know, pushing towards its own thing. I'll disagree and say I don't think it looks like massively better than Dawn or War.
let that chip in here.
It does look distinct, and I appreciate that about it. Mm-hmm. In addition to being the best character, Raqqa is also, just like Maurice, stunningly photoreal.
He looks...
Yeah.
I've thought about it, again, since Rise of the Planet Apes.
Yeah.
It's like, why does Maurice look so good?
Yeah, why is it the orangutan?
It has to do something with their hair, right?
I mean, their hair does look really real.
Because you look at the chimps, and the chimps have hair more like, you know, humans.
Yeah.
Like, but it's just over more of their body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you are used to looking at that. I think it's easier for orangutans because they've got these big billowing, you know, locks coming off of their body.
Yeah.
They're very long in their hair. Maybe that's easier to animate.
Maybe so. I also think it's in the face.
It's the face, I think.
And maybe it's because their faces are darker.
Yeah.
And very, like, the texture of their skin is more like craggly, whereas chimpanzees are a lot more similar to human skin, at least.
So there's
color.
An uncanny valley kind of going on.
Yeah.
I think you can hide.
And with orangutans, it's almost like their face is made out of like sandpaper, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a ton of texture there, a ton of light, you know, reflecting in different directions, able to kind of distract your eyes.
The color, like they've almost got the, like a deeper, this color almost.
Like your microphone?
This microphone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very similar. It's like
it's verging on black, but not quite.
Right.
And
there's
enough of an inhuman element still in them. And
they,
I mean, of the great apes still alive today, they're the ones that are the least related to us.
Sure.
So they're the most alien.
Yes.
So,
I think that's also a benefit of that.
So animating
as well.
Them.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like that Raqqa doesn't look like Maurice.
No. Where the
that's another great.
He's
part
a totally
too.
Different
yeah.
kind
that's,
of. Orangutan.
That's where like the evolutionary design I think really leads into like this, because you see Raqqa and you're I could see in like 100 and 200 years like if they go.
No. Okay.
What are we talking? What are we saying?
Okay. So are you saying that Raqqa again? I'm about to get real nerdy.
I know.
I'm so sorry.
Let me hear what you were saying.
So, are you saying that like Raqqa looks like an evolved orangutan?
No, I think it's more just like, I think it's in terms of, again, this is, if the end goal in their mind is like in nine films, we kind of get to a point of like, oh, you kind of have to believe that they get to a point where they wear clothes and they look like humans with orangutan masks,
which I, which I do believe that they do a lot with the designs, especially of like Noah's dad.
Yeah.
And that, Noah himself.
Before you ape jumped on me, that's what I was basically trying to say. With Raka, it's like, I was like, oh, I really like that it's not Maurice. Like, I really like that there is some intention here in the design, in the performance. It feels very different in a way that I really enjoyed.
Okay. I almost went for you for some really nuanced bullshit. So, you know how Maurice has got the big face?
Yeah.
He's got the big flings coming off.
Yeah.
That's what so, some orangutan males have those big growths coming off of their face called flings.
Mm-hmm.
And not every adult orangutan has got those.
Huh.
And Raka is one who doesn't, because Raka is implied to be older than Noah. He seems to be an older,
older
individual, mm-hmm. but he doesn't have those flings.
Right.
So he's a non-flanged adult. I thought in my hubris that you were saying, oh, Raka's design is just because he doesn't have those
No.
I'm a dumbass, and I wasted a whole like 5 minutes of the podcast.
No, I think it's
trying
just,
to.
No, like again, if you're going to stand out post circus, I think Rock's design is a great example, and I think it's also Proximus is a great example of that too.
God,
I love with Noah the fact that it's like, yes, he looks the closest. He is our Caesar surrogate.
He's made to look the most like. Yeah, which I assume that the movies are going to reveal that he is somehow descended or something.
I would love it if not. I would love it.
That feels like the obvious route.
I would hope he was. He isn't, but he also has like, you know how Caesar had that birthmark?
He does. Yeah, that's true.
And
that's true.
There's a bit of a patch on Noah's chest that is kind of lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they abandon that. If they have that idea, I hope they abandon it. Just again, I'm a big Last Jedi fan, so I would prefer him to be nobody.
I like the fact that Owen's performance as Noah, a lot of it it very much feels like he is wearing the burden of having to follow up Circus.
Yeah.
But ultimately, by the end of the film, it very much feels like.
He's so good, narratively, as well as
diegetically and non-diegetically in terms of like his character, you can see how much Owen has become Noah in terms of like how he feels about the character. Because like I love Owen says like one of the biggest things that Circus told him is that your development and your emotion, it's all in the shoulders. When you're an ape,
mm-hmm.
you use that to show if you're very tense, you're very worried about where you are in this world. But if you're very relaxed and you're very tall, you have more purpose. You're more confident. And I think by the end of
That's
Kingdom,
phenomenal. Such good advice.
By in Kingdom, when you get to that finale where he has, because again, it's another thing we talked about when we left the theater is like Noah's not built like Caesar.
No.
I couldn't see Noah beat the shit out of Koba to save my life. Koba would kill him.
Oh, Koba would tear Noah in half.
So to have Noah be a clever ape and for other apes to use as almost like a derogatory term, but to show how intelligent he is, shows like, okay, we're not getting Caesar again in a good way. We're getting an interesting, different take on.
Because Caesar's really interesting in the sense that, he is so much smarter than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't his greatest strength. His greatest strength is that he's just a good leader. I mean, again, he's very messiahic in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But like, he's also a shit brick house. He tears people's asses up.
Yeah,
Caesar beats the fuck out of people
again. Yeah,
whereas Noah gets his ass handed to him a lot.
I think I was a little bit worried about the runtime. I don't know how you feel about this, Andy, because we didn't see it together. But the fact that this is 30 minutes more than like pretty much the longest of the circus films. I wanted more. Which we might get.
Give me more. Which
we
might.
We might get a 3-hour cut, the director's cut of the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Hopefully it will come out at some point. Because like when we hit, because I was like, okay, the 30-minute mark, we're getting into Brave New World. Let's go into the big out. Mm-hmm. You know? And then from that point forward,
day.
It is, I will say it is kind of like the ending, I think, is just like breakneck. Like, I was very shocked at how fast, when we finally get to like, oh, so this is the end and we're still going. Oh shit. And again, I think it's after watching War, it was like the opposite of what War was like. It was like War felt like it kind of bowed in the
ground
middle
to
and
a
then
halt.
Really,
yeah.
Yeah, then when it really got to the end, it got its stride back in the pacing wise. With Kingdom, it was just like, well, is there a bit of a break between, oh, we're getting to that. No, we're doing this. Oh, yeah. We're getting to this. Like, it very much is like, okay. And again, it's not bad. It's just like, it very much was like, oh, okay. There's a lot of good stuff in Kingdom that I really enjoyed, and I kind of wish there was a little bit more of. Which hopefully, if they do a director's cut, I would
we'll get more of that. Yeah,
sure.
Because there's more stuff with characters I would have loved to see more of. There is cool ideas that are touched upon.
I love Proximus Caesar.
Proximus is one character that needs more time because I think we were shocked. It just like he makes an impression, but compared to like how much he's pushed in the trailer, it is kind of shocking the amount of screen time he gets overall.
Yeah,
and especially with how
Andy,
much
Andy hates the movie.
I have a good look. I have resigned myself to the reality that you guys are going to eat up most of the review, and that's totally fine because you guys are more on the same page about this movie.
No, you keep going.
I enjoyed this movie, but I do want to talk about, while we're talking about pacing, because it's a good segue into talking more about Proximus, our villain. I also felt like there were some strange timing and pacing choices in this movie. I mean, for one, it's 2.5 hours. I personally really felt the length of it. I think probably more than you guys did.
I mean, on a rewatch, I can imagine it feeling a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And I think a huge part of that is the fact that our villain does not show up until over halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
And even his presence only shows up maybe, what, like 20, 25 minutes in?
Yeah,
like
his,
when his raiders
people,
interact with Noah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, honestly, there's an argument to be made that, like, really Noah's main antagonist in the movie is the gorilla, like, troop leader. Like
the gorilla guy. Yeah.
I think it's
Silva. Yeah, the gorilla who's chasing him the whole time and beating the shit out of him.
Her?
No, I thought Silva was the gorilla's name.
Is it?
Oh, I thought you said her.
No.
That was
his.
That was a silverback, man.
That was, that, no, no, no. It's
the sexual dimorphism was off the charts with that thing. I saw his buttocks.
He had a big electric stick. He was scary.
But anyway, yeah, Proximus himself shows up more than halfway into the movie, and it doesn't take very long before Noah and the human character. Is it May?
Nova. How much do we want to give away?
It
Nova
takes very little time when they first see Proximus to when they are like, all right, we're blowing all his shit up and we know exactly how to do it. And then we're on to, you know, that kind of climactic thing. And yeah, Proximus, I felt, kind of got shorted. Because I think... what's his name?
Kevin.
Kevin Durand gives a really cool, fun performance.
Dude, and there's so many moments.
The lunch scene.
I'm sure a director's cut would highlight his performance a lot more. I would hope.
I want him to read Vonnegut.
And, you know, I'm also plenty aware that, like, okay, we didn't see the body at the end. There's two more movies planned in this trilogy. We could see more.
There were a few bodies
Proximus.
We don't see in this.
There's a few kind of teases for more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, you know, we can, that may be an issue that is remedied, I guess. But in the confines of these 2.5 hours, I kind of felt shorted on my interpersonal conflict.
I can see that. I will see it because I think while I was engaged, like I was engaged the whole film, I'm like, I'm having a great time. Emotionally, I wasn't fully engaged. I had a good time with everyone, but when Rocka, you know, takes a little dip,
he ends
my
up
brain,
in the river.
My brain wasn't like I was like, that's it. Come on, maybe there's a little bit
that
more.
That scene
and
felt
like, kind of
strangely.
Yeah.
Abrupt or anticlimactic or something.
Almost forced.
Yeah, because it was
a
like
good swimmer.
It was almost like I really loved Rocka already at that point. But I was like, it doesn't feel like these characters have spent enough time together to earn those, like, those lingering shots on their faces of, like, crying as he, like, goes down river,
well, I mean,
you know?
I think the biggest issue in that regard, and I'm wondering if the director's cut will push more on, is I think Freya Allen's, like, Nova May, there's so many moments where it's just like, you're not going to tell me more about you, aren't I? You're just going to say, this shit's going to be said, and we're going to cut away. And it's like, God damn it, there's so much here that could just be, we could spend 30 minutes really trying to dissect how the fuck this is, where we are timeline-wise, like your origin, because there's so much more, there's so much interesting stuff surrounding just her. Like, I think that's the big thing about Kingdom, and it's kind of its blessing and curse. There's so many phenomenal ideas, and they're they're developed just enough, I think, across the board, that I think it's a great time, but I would love more of it. So hopefully
and
a sequel could do that.
For sure, because the what encapsulates all of those things, whether it be their successes or, you know, their shortcomings, Kingdom's ambiance is just dripping. It is finally a Planet of the Apes movie that we've had. It's the first Planet of the Apes movie since 1974 that we have. I won't mean since 2001, but screw that one. It's the first one in a while that we've had that it's like actually a Planet of Apes.
Yeah, like, it looks like the planet has altered under this new rule, kind of.
Yeah, you know, there are characters, some who aren't of the more simian nature, who acknowledge that in this movie, where they, you know, there are characters who are like, the humans' time has passed. But one thing I really enjoy, too, is that, because I'm a consuming fanboy who's just like, consume, I guess.
Ape Coomer.
I'm an Ape Coomer, if you will.
Eat the banana.
You will eat the banana. And I eat the banana, and the reverence, again, I already said this partially in the episode about the Circus Trilogy, but this movie's reverence for the original movie, the 1968 movie, holy shit. It is insane. It is wild in the production design,
again,
in the marketing, in above all else the music. And I mean, Logan picked up on this, but I mean, so many other people who I was with, who I haven't subjected the classic Apes movies on, they didn't get it. I mean, there are, so when you look at War and Dawn, there's inspirations. In the score from that original movie. In Kingdom, there are actual rips, basically, from
lifted motifs.
They're, the motifs are taken straight out, like in the scene where, and it's in the trailer, so I don't really feel bad just spelling it out, when the apes are hunting the humans.
Yeah,
they pull out the iconic human hunt music and update it from that original movie, because that is one of the most famous scenes from that original
movie. Yeah, which I wonder, I mean, has to be that, like, the motivation behind that, the increase in, you know, pulling things from the original, is showing that we're kind of bridging that gap back toward...
Yeah,
what we saw,
and the movie does it in so many ways too. I don't know how spoilery are we getting on this.
I mean, again, we've
I can shut up and we can talk about vibes.
We have very closely skirted into.
But we can.
How about we say, from this point on, let's do a little spoilers, and then we can. We can kind of
spoiler alert right here. So if you're listening and you don't want spoilers that are more blatant than what we've already dropped,
go watch the movie and then come back.
Yeah.
So 5, 4, 3, 2, 1
Yeah.
So there are actual references that are just flat out plot points.
Yeah.
So you know the point where they find the human doll. This is Mama.
Yeah.
That is literally from the original Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
Dr. Zaius is holding a human doll that makes that exact sound bite, like the exact same sound bites as Mama. And it's a huge thing because, like, why would a human make a doll that talks if they can't talk?
Yeah. And this is
there's
right.
There's that. The scarecrows, like the crucifix looking.
Oh. Yeah.
So when Noah, Raka, and May are going across or getting close to the bridge, mm-hmm. they see all those weird, like, X-shaped scarecrow things. Mm-hmm. It's from the original. They look pretty much exactly like the ones from the original.
And then there's a nod in that in War with how the apes are kind of, like, crucified. Just on that.
Which is an evolution of that, which is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And what shows too is kind of phenomenal because again these are Easter eggs and these are not the original that I think in any other franchise they would be, you know, they would put way too much mustard on these where it's just like you roll your eyes and be like I fucking get it.
Yeah.
Well, what's so great about the Mama reference is the fact that like that is at the time when you're watching the first film for the first time
it is a no moment.
Yeah, that is considered to be the big moment in the film. Until the Statue of Liberty shows up. And it's like, okay, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
So when that doll shows up and it happens, it's a good chance, like, you can get away with that Easter egg because there's a good chance a lot of people who even
know
the statue,
don't know.
They don't know it. Because it's like, because both Adam and I are like, it's the same fucking voice. it's also the same reaction. Well, like, of course, it's like when they see it and also the Fort Wayne reference. With Heston.
Right, the Fort Wayne name drop. At
yeah,
the
because
end.
That's where Charlton Heston's character is from.
He's from Fort Wayne,
which is it's one of those things where it's like they are so blunt and obvious about him, but they do it with such a love that it's like it gets away with the member Barry shit really well, and it works well with the story.
Well, because it means something. And
yeah,
and I'd say the references in this one mean something more than like the otherwise forced. References that you have a lot of in Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Save, take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape. No. Yeah. That's slaps.
No,
I won't argue that reuse of the line, slaps.
That's the only line that I think, just really works.
Yeah, it works really well. But I mean, like, there's the Icarus forcibly thrown in there, like they're the astronauts that are going up into space, or the Statue of Liberty. It's like, it's pretty.
You really wanted you. What you're saying is you wanted William H. Macy to say, "Don't be so touchy, Proximus." you wanted like a.
We were all slaves one way or another. Watch Conquest of the Planet of the Apes if you want to.
Speaking of characters that I feel like have really interesting. You know, starts, but not really much finishes to it, is William H. Macy's character. But I will say,
is that his name?
Yeah. But I will say, it is fascinating to think if, since they are completely, you know, it is the fourth film to a degree, to watch May, like, purposely kill another human versus how Caesar accidentally kills Winter in War. Really shows the dichotomy of like how each side is willing to sacrifice accidental sacrifice versus like the purpose.
I love how
death. Although there are plenty of apes willing to kill apes in this.
No,
movie.
Yeah, but I'm talking like lead character wise. Yeah, like it's fascinating because
Noah and his friends are just petrified when they're watching.
Yeah,
they actually adhere to the law of like you know ape no kill ape or all that.
But eagle
and then they just see that shit. And they're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
How do we stop this? They're petrified.
I also think the Silva death, that whole kind of interaction where Noah cleverly gets around the pipes.
Yeah.
That's, I think, some of the best.
He doesn't defeat this gorilla who could rip him in half.
But that's
smarts him.
It's pretty fucking grim, though, how he just lets him drown. That's some war shit
a little bit.
That was
hard.
Again, and that's, I think, also where the effects shine in that scene as well. And,
the water effects and the wet monkey effects scene were really great.
Because, again, like a big thing of like how Rise has, I think, aged poorly is because of just how much more fully CG moments there are in Rise. Uh-huh. And then, like, with Kingdom, it has fully CG moments, too, but they look so good.
Well, they're in
the amount
sets.
Of time and effort and in the sets, but, like the whole Noah Silva thing is, like, They didn't make a set of him sliding through those
pipes. I'm sure they did.
They didn't film them running
they
through the pipes.
They actually flooded
and stuff.
A
yeah.
water treatment plant.
I would
for that.
Fucking love that. but no, yeah, it's just, it is kind of like as a start for a new trilogy that could ultimately lead to a 7, 8, and 9. But like, arguably for a new trilogy, it's like Kingdom could be so much worse. Like, and the fact that it's as good as it is, I'm just happy about that.
Yeah, I could have a lot worse.
I couldn't ask for more.
I could have a lot worse complaints than feeling like walking away from this movie and feeling like, yeah, I'm on board for another trilogy. Yeah. You know, like, maybe I didn't get all the, you know, development or exploration that I wanted in this movie. But I came out of it being like, I'm down for whatever's next. I want to see more of this.
That is the biggest question. How do you don this? How do you do, like, what is their take going to be of, like, because now, like, they had to basically just be better than Rise. And they did it,
and it
in my opinion.
Just had to get people on board with
well, you've got
more
of
them.
You've got a hell of a setup.
You honestly do.
And I think it feels like Dawn in that way. I mean, Rise sets a hell of a setup.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere after Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And after Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, you can go anywhere.
Uh-huh.
Spoiler alert. Again, you shouldn't be listening right now, probably, by now.
We're in spoiler zone.
But that being said, spoiler alert, after Kingdom, I mean, you've got a kingdom that has collapsed in on itself. There are seemingly tons, God knows how many apes that were part of Proximus's kingdom.
You also
not to mention the
probably myriad different factions of apes out there. That,
well, you also
exactly in clans and stuff like that. How does Noah move on? Does he reestablish it in a new
that
way?
Is,
does he? He says that he's learned a lot. Does he change how his father ran the clan and all this? Like,
Noah's set up to be. He could very well be a very fascinating spiritual successor to Caesar in his position as kind of a revolutionary his current state.
I do think one of the big things will be for him is constantly thinking about, you know, Rocka's interpretation of Caesar. I think a big thing about this trilogy to be more interesting is to have more people that have twisted and turned Caesar's words in unique ways.
From the start, they've established it.
Yeah.
Like, Proximus Caesar is literally the next Caesar. He's a false prophet. It's like, we're opening up. Oh, I keep banging into this microphone.
Good.
Sorry. We keep just, you know, being shown how Proximus is a false prophet, and he's twisting the words of legacy. I mean, it's...
Do you guys think he'll continue to be the antagonist, or do you think he's done?
I would love for him to come back if you could make it not be
maybe
forced.
Yeah. Because
he got fucked
I
up
mean,
at
he
the
did.
End of that.
He did get absolutely fucked up, but I thought it was
ambiguous.
A choice to not, you know, to watch him fall all the way and then we don't see
I mean,
him,
in all
sure.
honesty, I loved...
It's same like, with Rocka. Same with Rocka.
Especially with kind of, you know, how sparing they were with him in this movie. I was kind of like, surely there's more.
In my head, I think...
I hope so. If they can do it right.
I really love the fact that the basically the epilogue of War reintroduces... We didn't even talk about this in the fucking 2+ hours we talked about the circus films. But the window. Where that scene shows the window there.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to... And then when we get to Proximus, is that
He's
window becomes an unsettling feeling. Because it's like now we've seen someone taint and turn the words
like
in a way to attack.
Yeah.
But
so
not everybody.
Not everybody, Rocka's, but,
no,
but
Rocka
I
Rocka still has
a
symbol as it
gives it to Noah, and Noah gives it
but
to
I
the
love,
human.
I love the fact that, like, the end, at least in my interpretation, the fact that the last shots we get are May looking up in hope for humans, and then you see Noah looking up almost in worry, worrying about the fact that he has now seen a world that he can't let go. He is now seen beyond his own place. He is seen in the stars, possibly Saturn or Jupiter. What was it again? Was it
totally saw Saturn?
Yeah. And so it's like he is now like, how could I go back to just being Eagle Sun after all the shit I've done? And because I would love the idea that, like, in sequels, if we do different antagonists, I would love you know, using the window as a way to be like, are you really friend or foe? Like, are you really following Caesar's words, or are you using that to taint it in your own way, like Proximus kind of did?
I would love.
And I would love to see more Caesar-esque, you know, more Proximus-esque, you know, interpretations of Caesar's words.
Give me more Caesar radicals.
Yes. Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Just different bastardizations.
Honest to God, one of the things I would.
Legacy being tainted in that way.
I know it would be hard. It wouldn't be fucking hard to do, but I would like a gorilla villain. I'd like an antagonist that is full blown a gorilla, because that's kind of one of the things I liked in battle that I remember is the gorilla.
Dude,
being...
General Ursus is the best part of it.
I agree. And I want more.
Oh, no, that's Aldo. Aldo's a dumbass. Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The iconic General Ursus. He's got the huge headdress.
That's right. Yes.
I see your gorilla villain suggestion, and I raise you a gibbon villain.
Oh, gibbons. Yeah.
That would be so unique. Or a baboon of some kind.
It's a gibbon. It's a gibbon.
Which they aren't apes. I mean, baboons aren't apes, but who gives a
shit? No, I like the. I just like the idea.
Gibbons are kind of apes, so
they're primates.
Well, because again,
they're lesser apes, in the same.
If they approach Kingdom in a way where it's like, yes, this is technically number four, but we want people to also not be afraid to just jump in on this one.
Uh-huh.
I love the idea of using Caesar's funeral as a way to reintroduce the window, and then again, just being like, you see the window again, and even if you don't know what that window means because you haven't seen the trilogy, there has got to be some uneasiness in a new audience being like, he's got the same, so like he has to know Caesar's, but like that doesn't feel like the same as like what we saw earlier. And it's I really would love
one
more window perversion, perverting that symbol in a way where it's like,
window
how
perversion.
Dare you wear that symbol, like a Harry Potter, like Noah
and
thing.
And I heard that from the audience. I heard that from the audience. I mean, when the when Proximus's army is like pillaging the Eagle Clan. And you've got the gorilla say for Caesar.
Yes.
I heard multiple people around me be like, what? Huh? What? No. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, no, this isn't Caesar. No. Fuck you. It's like, this is against.
You wouldn't want them.
I'm also curious to see if Wes is involved in the other two films as director, or if he's going to be producing as well as helping with writing. And maybe because of the Zelda film. Because, again, if they're going to follow the same time frame as the circus films, there's probably going to be a 3-year gap between each film in this trilogy. And so it's like, I'm just curious to see if they bring in a new guy, what visual style, because we've seen the difference in visual style from why.
Yeah, will we see it evolve similarly?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm excited. I think it's just, in short, Kingdom has a lot of potential for a trilogy that could be as good as the circus trilogy, but we'd have to wait and see. As of right now, it's really, I think, a strong, flawed but strong start that I can't honestly wait to see again. Like, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to rewatch, and I honestly think that, like, there's a lot of great actors in it that I hope, you know, even if it's the last time, I would like to see more of the characters we got. And if I can only have Rocka or Proximus come back in the next one, I don't give a fuck about Proximus. Give me Rocka. Like, if it's the two, like, I would take another villain that's Caesar-esque, and then, but, like, have Rocka just be like, this is not the way. Like, I just want...
Give me an orangutan villain.
I was thinking that, too. Like, that's something where it's like,
that'd be
kind of
interesting.
Fun.
I mean, if we're talking about perversions, I mean, the most kind of wholesome characters in these movies are orangutans.
Yeah.
So,
the least background characters.
I know.
Yeah.
Give me Bryan Cranston as an orangutan villain.
Say his words.
It's just
Heisenberg.
It's just Skull King.
Yeah.
Or Scar King from Godzilla X Kong. But yeah, all around a very solid, promising start to a new saga
in
this franchise. You boys both rated it 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm an 8 out of 10. I War a bit more, but I think Kingdom. I'm excited to like give it another rewatch.
I can't say which one I like more. I've only seen War twice, and I've seen this once, and I'll probably see Kingdom again in theaters before it's out because I'm a nerd like that.
I mean, I genuinely, we literally talked about in our frequels about Rebel Moon, where it's like, I don't give a fuck about no director's cut on this bullshit. Fuck off. They're like having like something with like Kingdom where it's like, oh, this is really good, but I wish there was more. And then Westfall being like, What if there was? And it's like, oh, fuck. Okay, fine. I'm down. If there's a 3-hour cut of this fucking movie, that's long, but I'll watch it. I want to see it. Like, don't fucking tease me. I also want to see, just to quickly bring it up, the gray pajama cut. I was actually, when we were watching it in theaters, I was like, God, I cannot wait to see what this looks like in the gray pajamas.
Are they releasing a whole
apparently whole movie? On the home release, they are going to release the entire film in gray pajamas
without monkey effects.
Gosh, I want to see how, because again, like, there's the whole overgrown like climb to get the eagle egg, clearly mainly CGI, so I'm curious to see how they show, like, how they implemented.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'd like to see.
That'd be cool.
But yeah. And you gave it a 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5. I liked it. Yeah, those are our thoughts. We'll do more of these kind of podcasty reviews of movies as they come out. We're not going to try and do every movie or whatever, but you know, and we won't always have Adam as a guest.
What?
In fact, sometimes Logan and I might do solo reviews or solo reactions. We're just kind of trying out some other things we can do with the website and that sort of thing.
Yeah, really, just, you know, broaden the palette a little bit on there. And we're excited the website's out, so we thought we might try a few things.
Yeah, please, if you haven't, check out the Circus Planet of the Apes trilogy episode. And our next one is Chris Pratt's animated IP Dynasty.
Yep.
That'll be out June 1st.
Yes, indeed. 2014's Lego Movie, 2023's The Super Mario Bros. Movie, and this year's The Garfield Movie. He gets bigger.
The Saga.
Lasagna, the Saga.
Thanks again, Adam, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Of course.
Always happy to be here. In my own home.
I was wondering why you were staring at me like I made you do this.
Because I live with you.
You do. Well, Andy gets to leave.
Andy gets to break out of whatever's going on right now.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.